Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. It's been a weird one today. Been a weird one. You got the NBA trade deadline. Basically, Cleveland is all new except for LeBron. Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, for those that are just tuning us in, gets a five-year, $137.5 million contract, which is, man, that just automatically sends things skyrocketing in Green Bay. I mean, it's you can only imagine what Aaron Rodgers can get paid now. We were talking college hoops a little while ago. The Wisconsin Badgers, it has been a struggle to win on the road. They're in Illinois tonight, and they have been beating Illinois for over a decade. And we'll see if that comes to an end tonight. Meanwhile, you've got Marquette, and they're looking for some big wins down the stretch to get themselves into the tournament. John Rothstein from the College Basketball Insider from CBS Sports Network now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. John, how you doing today?
Good, man. Great to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Let's start with Marquette. What do you think that they need to do to bolster their resume to get into the tournament, or do you think they have a legitimate shot?
No, I think they have a legitimate chance. You know, anytime you can get a sweep over a team like Seton Hall, you put yourself in position to move the needle, because Seton Hall was a team that doesn't just have, obviously, a chance to be a team that could go to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, even though they haven't played like it so much in the last couple of weeks. You know, Seton Hall has wins with staying power, a neutral site win over Texas Tech, a road win at Louisville. So for Marquette to get two of their five Big East wins against Seton Hall, it's two wins that move the needle. But, you know, in addition to that, you got to be in a situation where you handle business when you have opportunities at home. I look at Marquette right now down the stretch. Right now, guys, they only have two opportunities to play home games the rest of the way. So a couple of times right now on the road, Marquette's going to have to come up big starting Saturday at St. John's.
Absolutely. Now, the other helicopter view I want you to give me a kind of that open-eye look at, and that's Wisconsin. I mean, Greg Gard has struggled this year. They've had some key injuries, lost a couple of recruits they thought would come in and really bolster this situation. Where do you see this Badger program right now?
Wisconsin is a team in transition. And, you know, obviously I think everybody felt like the million-dollar question and the elephant in the room was, how are you going to replace four starters from a team that went to a Sweet 16? But I think it's a little bit unfair to say right out of the gate that, you know, Wisconsin has completely taken a nosedive. I don't think anybody really would have felt that if Demetra Trice was healthy this season, that this would have been the result. I don't think that. And I also think, you know, you have to look at what you saw at a Kobe King early. Kobe King was a guy who I know the staff felt had a lot of hope for, a lot of promise for. Now, he was a freshman, but I don't think you would see Wisconsin have the record that it has right now if those two players were healthy the entire season.
The Big Ten itself, does it go all the way down to Northwestern getting into the tournament, or do they cut it off, say, about Penn State or Michigan? Where is the cutoff point right now, do you think, for the Big Ten?
Well, right now you have four teams projected to be into the field. And that's obviously Michigan State, Purdue, Michigan, and Ohio State. And then you have Nebraska kind of on the come. But the problem with Nebraska is, you know, you look at the body of work for the Cornhuskers. The only significant victory that it has on its resume is the win over Michigan. Had Svema Hajduk not made that shot for Kansas in the game at Pinnacle Bank Arena in December, there is no doubt in my mind that Nebraska would be in the NCAA tournament picture right now. They're on the cusp. They just have to keep winning games and be in a situation where teams around them stumble. But, guys, I got to tell you, the team to me that's the interesting team to track in the Big Ten in terms of having the potential to play their way into the field is Penn State. Penn State had a couple of questionable losses in the middle of Big Ten play. They lost an overtime game at home to Minnesota. They also lost to Northwestern and Indiana. But in those games, Josh Reeves, Penn State starting small forward, did not play due to an academic issue. This team's got 17 wins, and look at some of the opportunities they have down the stretch. They're at Purdue. They have home games against Ohio State and Michigan, and they also have a road game against Nebraska. If Penn State can get to the Big Ten tournament with 20 wins, which means they got to win three out of their next five, they're going to be right on the bubble getting going at Madison Square Garden.
What is? Let me ask you about Minnesota real quick, because you had mentioned Minnesota, and the Minnesota I thought was on the come for a while. I thought that this was going to be a team that was going to turn it around with the younger Patino at the helm. Where is that program right now?
Minnesota is feeling the effects of the injury to Reggie Lynch, and they're a program that, again, has had a little bit of a Murphy's Law type situation in the sense that you had Reggie Lynch, who had an unbelievable chemistry with Jordan Murphy at the four and the five, taken away, obviously, in the middle of the season from the sexual assault issue, and they took away a rim protector and they took away their best glue guy. So the complexion of this team has completely changed.
I'm talking with John Rothstein from College Basketball Insider for CBS Sports. Now, when you look at some of the top teams in the country, it's been Villanova and everybody else for a long time as far as the rankings go. But give me the teams in the most likely scenario that are really, if we're talking Final Four teams, is it just you can look at the top five, the top eight, the top ten, or is this year completely wide open, or is Villanova just a dominant team and then there's everybody else?
Well, you know, even Villanova, who I know has had injury problems, you know, looked very mortal last night against St. John's.
Right.
They couldn't guard St. John's, a team that hadn't won a conference game. And you guys know this. You know, I've always felt that college basketball normally had two types of seasons. You either had a season filled with parity, where obviously, you know, there was a handful of teams that could win a national championship more than usual, like 8 to 10. Or you had superpowers like we saw in 2015 when Kentucky, Wisconsin, and Duke really had dominant regular seasons and then all three hooked up at the Final Four. This year, the level of separations between teams is closer than I've ever seen it. So what I mean by that is for the last couple of weeks, it's looked pretty clear to me that Villanova, Virginia, and Purdue were by far the three best teams in college basketball. Look at what's happened, though, when you look a little closer. We've talked about St. John's beating Villanova. And what about Purdue? A 19-game winning streak, mm-hmm. But during that winning streak, the only Big Ten team that Purdue played that is currently projected to be in the NCAA tournament was Michigan. And then when we see Purdue play a team that's projected to be in the field, they lose at Mackey Arena. So I think you're going to see an NCAA tournament where seeds are meaningless. I think you're going to see an NCAA tournament where matchups will ultimately prevail, and that's what's going to give us a Final Four in San Antonio. Don't be shocked if, you know, you see a Texas Tech Xavier national semifinal coming up there on the last Saturday in March.
I was going to ask you, some of the royalty, North Carolina, 21 in the country, Kentucky has struggled at times this year, number 24 in the country. You normally see these teams in that top 10, and you're always going, okay, there they are all over again. You're not seeing that this year. You've seen some teams that have been toppled. They've been in some revamp. Well, we always know Kentucky's revamping because they got so many one-and-dones, and they're trying to figure out chemistry each and every year, but you're not seeing the traditional sitting right there at the top of the heap, so to speak.
No, you're definitely not. And you know, I think in some ways this is the opportunity for certain teams that have had chances to go to a Final Four but come up short to finally break through. Look at the run that Mick Cronin has had at Cincinnati, 7 NCAA tournaments in 7 consecutive years. This year will be 8. He's only gotten to the second weekend once. Look at what Sean Miller has had at Arizona, multiple Elite Eights, a Sweet 16 regular participant. These programs that have been going at bat year after year, their time is now. We'll see who cashes in.
Hey, real quick, before I let you go, when you talk about a lot of these teams that have a legitimate shot, going back to the Big Ten, you talked about Michigan, you talked about Ohio State, you talked about Purdue and Penn State possibly getting in. What is going to be the determining factor as to 5, 6, 7 teams? Is it going to be some of these mid-majors again this year that's going to knock out some of the additional spaces for these teams out of the bigger conferences to get in?
Well, you got to look right now at what's going to happen in leagues that currently have a dominant favorite. In the Atlantic 10, Rhode Island is the only projected team to to make the field. If St. Bonaventure or another team wins the Atlantic 10 tournament, that takes a bit away from a team like Nebraska. And the same thing, obviously, in other conferences. If, let's just say, in the Pac-12, which has been down, Oregon wins the Pac-12 tournament or UCLA wins the Pac-12 tournament, teams that aren't projected to be in the field, you're going to see teams, you know, from, like we're talking about, like a Nebraska, you know, be left out of the field altogether.
Great stuff, John. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us for a couple of minutes, okay?
Guys, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. Something ailing you, got you down, maybe you need a prescription. Call 844-CAREWAY. That's 844-CAREWAY, and maybe they can help you out right over the phone. Maybe get a prescription sent to the pharmacy near you. And if they can't help you out, there isn't any charge. $40 would be the maximum charge, but otherwise, it's pay for play, people, and that's the best way to go about it. Just another way they can try to help you, help yourself. That is Marshfield Clinic Health System. Check them out at marshfieldclinic.org, the official health care provider of yours truly. I got to get Matt on. Matt's been on hold forever. Matt, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. What's up?
Hey, so two things I want to go over with.
Sure.
First off, the Cavs. I think they've pretty much done themselves in for the season after all these trades. You're talking about over half a roster you've just dumped out, and now you got to build up all the team camaraderie. You got to get all that flow down together. I just don't see it happening. I think this definitely opens the door for the Bucks to make a move this year in the playoffs.
They either got really good really quick and it'll pay off, or like you said, it's going to take them a while to get it all together. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah, the Cavaliers, for those who are just tuning us in, we'll give you the rundown. But they traded away, God, a third of their roster today. They traded out of there, including Dwayne Wade. What else is on your mind?
Yeah, I think that's just a big thing. I think now is the opportunity, I think more than ever, for the Bucks to go ahead and look at the opportunity that's been presented for them. I think the East is now a three-team race between the Celtics, the Raptors, and the Bucks now. And I think it's really up to them right now. This is what could be the turning point now that we got Jabari back. You know, we got the All-Star break coming up for the guys to get, you know, some rest, get healthy again, and really make a push the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And I think if we can finish top 3-4, I think we could really make a run in the playoffs this year.
I agree with you. Appreciate the phone call. This could open the door, depending on how it all works out. For those that are just listening, Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Jay Crowder, Eamon Shumpert, and Channing Frye all traded away today from the Cleveland Cavaliers. They get in return Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., George Hill, Rodney Hood, and a heavily protected future second-round draft choice. That's what they get back. Cavs blowing it up. They're getting better. They got younger. They got better defensively. They got more athletic. But how long is it going to take them to get it all together? We shall see. But they got rid of some names. Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Jay Crowder, Shumpert, Frye, all gone.
And expected for at least three of those guys to now be cut by their new teams.
Yeah.
Makes my bet on the Bucks 25-1 to show up in the NBA Finals a lot better.
How about that? Yeah, the Bucks, as of right now, no additional deal. Which I'm not fretting over. And then the other big news of the day, and how does this affect the Green Bay Packers? Because Jimmy Garoppolo signed a 5-year, $137.5 million. That includes $74 million in guaranteed money. You're talking about almost $27 million a year. The Packers are going to have to pay Aaron Rodgers at some point. And what is that deal going to look like? Now, Jimmy Garoppolo comes with a lot of hype. Won some ball games out in San Francisco once he started there. What, they went 5 in a row to close the season out under Garoppolo? But we all know the Green Bay Packers are going to have to pay Aaron Rodgers. What is that contract going to look like? Holy moly. Holy moly. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. What do you think the Packers should pay Aaron Rodgers? Realistically. I mean, what do you think that contract's going to look like? Because on one hand, I'm thinking probably the best player for the money right now. I mean, Brady's getting a little older, even though he's got the rings. Rodgers, we all know, is as far as physical gifted, he's the best quarterback in football. Kirk Cousins is going to get paid, but I can't imagine him getting that money. You know, what is Aaron Rodgers going to get? I mean, this could get nuts. So what would you think would be a fair contract for Aaron Rodgers without breaking the bank and not being able to keep around some of the talent or going out and getting additional free agents? 855-830-8648 and the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. I mean, that's the question looming right now. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at San Giorgio. San Giorgio, the only authentic Napoletana pizzeria in Wisconsin. And there's only 60-something of them in the country. And we have one right here in our own backyard. Go down there, tell them you want the Bill Michaels. Fantastic pizza. And they pair that up with our friends over at Point Brewing, the Cider Boys. The original, by the way. Get the original cider. And it's such good stuff. Such good stuff. Go down there and check that out. You can find that on your local grocery store shelves as well. But that's San Giorgio and our friends from Point Brewing. Also, auto paint and supply, whether it's fleets, whether it's single autos, marine, industrial, you name it, they've got it. Go to goautopaint.com. That's goautopaint.com. And also our good buddy Brett and the gang over at Robert Hack Diamonds. Port Washington and Greentree Roads, just north of Milwaukee, and also on 76th and Layton. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. If you haven't already done the jewelry thing, they've got prices to meet everything. Everything from $90 up to $9,000. I mean, whatever it is you want and whatever it is you're looking for, they can hook you up. They're great people over there. Just go over and tell them I sent you and see what they can do for you. And then let me know about it. Let me know. Make sure they took care of you, because I'd love to hear about it. I always love to hear about people that have great or not so great experiences at a lot of the places we send you to. So stop over and tell them we said hi. When we come back, we got to talk some Bucks at the trade deadline. Are you okay if the Bucks don't do anything? And if the Packers are going to make a deal and they're going to pay off Aaron Rodgers, you heard what Garoppolo just got. What's it going to be for Aaron Rodgers? Holy moly. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show. Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are so glad to have you. Final hour of the program. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, the former head coach of the Green Bay Packers, in case you missed it, Mike Sherman, had a chance to chat with him on Radio Row. A great, great conversation. One of the best radio stories I have to this day involves Mike Sherman. You're going to hear about that coming up here in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned for that. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. The Reuben is back. That's right, it's back, and all you got to do is stop into Cousin Subs and grab one for yourself. Limited time only, by the way, if you're into the Reuben or the Rachel, for that matter. Stop into Cousin Subs, or there's always the pepperoni melt. That's the life changer right there, the Bill Michaels. Extra mayo, extra cheese, get that thing. Oh, it's so good. Go to CousinSubs.com or download the app, and you're good to go. Cousin Sub, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's get back to the phone calls, shall we? Let's go to Terrell on the north side. Terrell, welcome to the program, man. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting here waiting to see if the Bucks are going to do anything.
Yeah. So I got a trade proposal for the Bucks for you before this last, 30 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I say the expiring contract with Teletovich, John Henson, a trade exception, a future second rounder to Charlotte for Dwight Howard.
Boy, that would take care of a lot.
And that means you're not giving up anything except maybe Henson. Everything else is pretty much Henson. So you'd pretty much be going from Henson as your starting center to Dwight Howard as your starting center.
Right.
And you'd be able to keep everything else you got so far. Just think it makes a whole lot of sense for the Bucks. And with Charlotte, you're shedding salary. You'll go from Dwight Howard's salary on the books to John Henson's salary for the next 2 years, which is like a $11-12 million
yeah.
difference. So I think they win in that deal, and I think it could help the Bucks for the playoff run this year with him.
Right.
What's going on?
That would be, see, the only question I have with Dwight Howard, do you think Dwight Howard is just Dwight Howard, or do you think he's got championship timber in him?
Well, I think in the right situation, he has championship timber. I think he knows, the reason why I'm saying that, because he knows whose team this is, so he won't have that problem. I mean, he's made multiple comments about Giannis, and this is his team. He's going to be, jersey's going to be hanging up there with Kareem's and all that type of stuff. So he won't have that problem with him. And as far as the temperament, I mean, Henson has a temperament I haven't liked for years. He's pretty much goofy type of player. Doesn't look like he's being serious at times. So, I mean, you're not losing much, but at least Dwight can hold his own down low.
Mm-hmm.
He will rebound at a high level and play defense at a high level all the time. So just think it's a win-win for the Bucks.
If there's a way to get Dwight Howard here, I mean, you talk about solidifying the inside and suddenly, you know, now, man, I think I'd do that. I mean, Henson has really kind of sunk into his role, and I appreciate what he's done. But if you could bring in Dwight Howard for a couple of years, that might not be a bad way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I could deal with that. Appreciate it, Terrell. Thanks, buddy. I could deal with that. I had to think about it for a minute because I've never been a big Dwight Howard fan.
Yep.
Going back to the days of Superman, certainly he was Superman, but he's not Superman anymore. But he could certainly come in and be a great accent piece in the middle.
He's a different guy, too. It does seem, Terrell pointed to it, he seems like, personally-wise, he's understood that...
He's humbled himself a little bit.
He's not going to be the guy that he thought he was in L.A. Because when he went to L.A., he thought he was the man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would do that deal. This one's from Toddy, who says, Aaron Rodgers' best days are behind him. You cannot break the bank. Father Time wins every year. Aaron Rodgers is 35. I mean, that'd be like saying you couldn't break the bank five, six years ago on Tom Brady. Tom Brady's still playing at a high level, just won an MVP. If you're going to add 5 years to Aaron Rodgers' contract, that's not a bad way to go. Yeah, that's not a bad way to go. And for those that are tuning in, $74 million guaranteed to Jimmy Garoppolo. 5 years, $137 million. 74 of that guaranteed. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, at this point, Gutekunst can just say, Aaron, here's a checkbook, write it. Write your own amount. You know, I mean, it's getting nuts. This is also one of the reasons the Packers, I mean, they didn't have to, but the quicker you do a deal, the quicker it is you've set the bar, and you don't have to worry about some of these other quarterbacks that aren't anywhere near as good as Aaron Rodgers making so much more money that it raises the price for the guy that is one of the best to play the game.
And it also makes everybody else want to over to top you up.
Yeah.
And raise the salary that everyone else is going to have.
Yep. So it just, man.
Do you think people will look badly at Rodgers if he doesn't take somewhat of a hometown discount? And discount to say what Brady had done for the last 3 years, where he does a one-year deal to make sure he fits in.
Jack just tweeted that. He says, has Brady ever been the highest paid quarterback? Well, remember, people, Brady's wife makes more money than he does.
Mm-hmm.
Brady's wife makes like $50 million a year, apparently. I mean, I was reading, was it in Forbes or something like that? She makes like a gob of money a year.
And I don't even think she has to appear anymore. She doesn't
do much anymore. She's just off residuals and all that kind of stuff. She's just making money. It just prints itself. Somebody had said that they've got like a little over more than $500 million in the bank or something like that. Some stupid amount of money.
That's why her little kid was messing around the guy on WEEI. Exactly. I had to call her.
Exactly. You know? Mike says, can you front load contracts in the NFL? Yeah, absolutely. They do it all the time. That's the reason they just re-signed some of the players before the end of the season so they could actually prorate the signing bonus to this past year so they don't have to take a contract hit down the road if they want to get rid of them. That's one of the things that Ted Thompson's been very, very good at. You may not agree with some of the people that he signs, but that's the way he's done it. Brock says, wait till Aaron Rodgers bankrupts the Packers and then their fans complain about him never having any help. This one's from Jason. Said, would you do 3 years, $90 million, all guaranteed for Rodgers? No. No, I wouldn't. Because he's not, because you don't want to have him sitting right there saying, I can win a Super Bowl. And first of all, you don't have a backup quarterback right now, which means you'd have to draft one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or find one. And you're not ready for 5 years total down the road. You got to draft one in the next 2 to 3 years. So whatever I'm doing probably a 5-year deal, because he's got 2 more years left on his deal. He's got this coming year and then the year after, which will put him at 36 years old. So take him to 41. If he retires before that, so be it, because then you forfeit that money. There's a buyout clause. But I would do 5 years. 5 years, $140 million.
145, maybe. $80 million
guaranteed, and go from there. That's kind of the way I would do it. 855-830-8648. When we come back, in case you didn't get a chance to hear it, the former head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike Sherman, joined us. It's one of his few radio interviews on Radio Row. He came over to say hello, had a great conversation, and one of the best stories in my radio broadcast career happened to Green Bay, and it involved Mike Sherman, and he remembered that. You're going to hear that coming up next on the Bill Michael Show. Welcome back to the program. This portion of the program being brought to you by Quick Trip, top tier alternative fuels, no fee ATMs. They've got milk, they've got bread, they've got eggs, hot foods, cold foods, meat cabinet. They have everything inside Quick Trip, and all you have to do is find them. Go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com. I'm throwing it out there. Right after you hear this, I'm going to throw it out there. And Bucks fans can tell me how whacked out I am. But I've got a dream. I'll tell you what it is coming up after this. Mike Sherman, the former head coach of the Green Bay Packers, joined us on one of the few interviews that he did. Came over and specifically wanted to find us and came over to Radio Row to say hello. And had a great conversation. Take a listen.
Former head coach, former general manager of the Green Bay Packers, Mike Sherman, joining us here on Radio Row. How you been?
Good, Bill. How about yourself?
I can't complain. I mean, you obviously have had a little bit of a tour since you left Green Bay. I wanted to ask you this question because you and I never got a chance to really kind of talk after the fact, but is it good to have a head coach be a general manager? That's the number one question everybody asks me.
It's a tough job. There's no question about that. It's a tough job to have dual responsibilities. But if you have a great support group behind you that's working hard, I had Mark Hatley before he passed.
Right.
And then he did pass, unfortunately. I think it all kind of balances out. But to have that role and be able to pick them and also call the plays and also run the team, that's a challenge.
How easy or difficult was it having Favre as a quarterback when you're a coordinator and you've got a guy that wants to throw the football and wants to be the guy at the line of scrimmage and all that kind of stuff? How was that working relationship?
I thought it was excellent. You always judge a player, I think, by how he practices, how he prepares, and he did a great job at practice showing the other players, hey, this is how you practice. And I remember many times being asked by the media after a game, you know, hey, how about that throw Favre made? You've never seen that before, I bet. I said, no, I've seen it practice 4 or 5 times. I mean, he practiced the game like he played the game.
What did you take away from your experience in Green Bay?
Oh, it was a phenomenal opportunity. I mean, I have very fond memories. I know things didn't end the way I wanted them to, but that's just the nature of the business. I have nothing but great things to say about the organization, the people there. The fans in particular were awesome. I miss that relationship. You know, when I was in Green Bay, I was bound and determined not to let my life change. So we went out to eat. I went to the grocery store. I did things around town. So I was constantly in contact with fans and thoroughly enjoyed that relationship. And it always holds a fond memory in my mind.
I have always told people, and I told you this sitting down today, people always ask me about moments in sports and who did you meet. And, you know, look, I grew up watching Joe Montana and Boomer Esiason and all those guys. And you know, so I'm talking to Boomer yesterday and telling him I was watching you play when I was younger, you know,
that type
of thing. And Joe Montana I met last year for the first time. But the best moment in radio ever in my entire career, it was a late night, it was a Monday night game. Brian Noble and I are doing the postgame show in the road show, the trailer that we used to have right outside the parking lot. And Brian and I were talking, and I can't remember the kick returner. The week prior, he had let one go inside the 10. They downed it at the 2, and you had gotten on him after the game. The next week, that after that game that night, caught one inside the 10. He got trucked, ended up on the 7, and you killed him after the game. Same question. And Brian was going off. He's got this kid's head screwed up, and he can't do it, and this and that. And I'm watching this guy. He's like eating wings or something across the parking lot. And I'm looking. I'm like, there's nobody in the lot. And this guy's sitting there listening to us. Who is this guy? And I looked real close, and I thought, holy crap, that's Mike Sherman. And the lights come on, and Brian's in mid-rant. It's beautiful. I mean, he's in mid-rant. The lights come on. And I very quietly just wrote a note that said, here comes Mike Sherman. And I slipped it to Brian. He got into, like, an uncontrollable laugh. And you got out of the car, knocked on the door. And you said, guys, can I come on in? And you sat down in the most surreal moment, and we were talking about it. And then Brian asked you the question. You looked at Brian and said, I was listening. You're right. I've never seen a coach ever do that. But it was the best moment in radio. And you were so real and genuine about it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was sitting there. I think it was. I think I was eating wings at the time. Probably had some barbecue sauce on my shirt when I walked in. But that was a neat moment. And you guys were gracious enough to let me come in and be a part of that and kind of give my slant to things. So
it was.
One thing, Bill.
Yeah, go ahead.
I missed probably more than anything. And I don't know if people even realize that this happened, but. You know, we usually won our home games. So after the home games, take me 2 hours to get out to the car. And my two boys, Matt and Ben, would come with me. And we'd drive around that parking lot. And then we'd stop at a tailgate party that hasn't quite ended yet.
Yeah.
And I'd walk up to him. I'd pull up to him and roll the window down and say, hey, who won the game today? And then, and then the Packer fans 2 hours after the game,
right?
They're not seeing straight, right?
Right.
So they're saying, "Well, you dumbass, hey, where you been?" You know? So then all of a sudden they would focus in and say, "Hey, coach, how you doing? Hey, come on, have a beer." I said, "No, I gotta go." Then I go to the next one, say, "Hey, I'm not cleaning this crap up. You guys better pick up these beer cans. I'm not picking them up after you guys." And so we'll go around the parking lot and hit each little group like that. My sons had just a ball doing it, and I enjoyed it as well. One of my best memories of being the Packer coach.
I never
around.
Knew that.
Yeah, not many people did.
I never knew that.
But it was the best fun, and those people probably remember, and I remember. Those people may not remember because it was 2 hours after the game.
How much have I had to drink? I think the coach was picking up beer cans. Yeah.
But we had fun with that, and I have so many great memories of Green Bay, and
just a
phenomenal place and organization, and the fans just make it what it is.
One of the most epic games I've ever had a chance to cover, and I know you got to run, but when Brett's dad died, Brett, who did his dad did the show with us,
tingling as you're telling me the story. Yeah,
I remember getting the call and saying, "Can you break the news?" And we did. I tried to do it the best because he was such a good friend, and you got to go from being that guy to being somebody who has to report this. Yep. And then, you know, what that night was like prior to the game, and then obviously the competition. I remember Donald Driver telling me, he said, we came together and said, there's nothing going to hit the ground.
Yeah.
We're going to catch everything.
Right.
What was that like?
One thing that I think people don't realize that make it even more surreal is the fact that, you know, we went out there 2 days ahead. So we were sitting on this. He had to deal with this for a couple of days. I gave him an opportunity. I said, you can go home. You don't have to play. Now, we needed to win that game to keep going.
You know his dad would have never let him do that.
Exactly. And so he knew that. So he decided, not immediately, but he decided to play. But what people don't realize, that Monday night game, the storyline was he's going to play this game for his dad. So he's going to have everybody's assuming he's going to have this great, miraculous storybook game, kind of like his life has been to a certain degree in many parts. And so the pressure was mounting for him to have this unbelievable game for his dad. And if he didn't, he'd be disappointing his dad. So now we go out there and he does what he's supposed to do. He has an unbelievable game. But the pressure people don't realize that was on him for that ball game was unbelievable.
It was an unbelievable night. And, again, when you talk about getting tingles, I do all over the place.
And the way the players responded to him, because there were plenty of balls that could have gone the other way
right.
that night, and our players wouldn't let them intercept the ball.
I got to get this in because I know you got to go, but Your Call Football, talk a little bit about it. That's who's bringing you around today.
Yeah, Your Call Football is a tech company out of Boston, been working on this program for 4 to 5 years, and what they've done is they've taken the Madden game and put it into live time. It's live time. It's going to be broadcast live. regular coaches, regular players playing, and the fans get a chance to pick the play.
Bill. That's fantastic.
They get a chance to pick the play. I give them a bundle play, second and seven.
You and Merrill Hodge.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Well, I'm one head coach. He's the other head coach.
That's fantastic.
But, yes, yeah, so we're going to be in Vero Beach, Florida, and it's going to be streamed live. It's going to be a great way, again, I'm thinking about my Green Bay fans, a great way for the fans to connect. Now, I can be the Monday morning quarterback on 4th and 27. I don't have to answer the question anymore.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
I don't have to worry about that anymore. I say, hey, you do it.
I gave you a good moment. You gave me the bad one. Okay. All right. Coach, it's a pleasure. I know you got to run. You got
to
take off.
It's
thanks so much.
To see
great to
Green
see
Bay.
You. Look
you
great. Thanks
Thank
so much.
You.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Talk to you soon. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
That was Mike Sherman. We had a great time talking to him, and we are going to take – when I come back, though, I've got nuttiness that I want to explain to you, and then we're going to get out of here. I'm just going to drop the mic after that, and then we're going to pick it up where we leave off tomorrow, because there's a lot of things going on today we've got to talk about tomorrow. But stay tuned. More of the Michael Show next. Welcome back. Bill Michaels' show is on the air. We're going to pick up where we left off tomorrow, where we're going to talk about the contract situation. Jimmy Garoppolo getting a boatload of money. What is Aaron Rodgers going to dictate? Holy mackerel. Cleveland Cavaliers have traded away everybody but LeBron. And a lot of teams trying to open up salary space to bring LeBron in. We'll get into that tomorrow on the program. We'll wrap up our week from Radio Row as you're going to hear the interview that we did, a terrific interview with Greg Cosell, who works with the NFL Matchup Show and talks about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and looks at them extremely analytically. And then, for those that asked for it, we are going to hear the interview again with Paul Allen, the radio play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Vikings. That is coming up. We're going to talk some college hoops tomorrow. Paul Emig tomorrow is going to join us, our green and gold analyst, as we talk about this contract situation as it begins to kind of, you know, set on the horizon for the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers and what they're going to do in free agency. And the reason people ask now, why do you want to do Aaron Rodgers' contract now? Well, because you want to know what your salary cap space is going to be for years to come. So you want to get it set as early as possible. So we'll get into all of that discussion as well. But here's my thought. Okay, follow me on this. Okay, this is the Milwaukee Bucks euphoric world. All right? Follow me here. We all know that there are teams out there gearing up for LeBron who can opt out, become a free agent, the whole thing. And the thought process is that LeBron, he's taken pay cuts his entire career so he could fit in enough people under the cap to be able to get guys around him to get him championships. Okay. Teams have dictated to LeBron, or have been dictated to by LeBron to get certain players, and it just hasn't worked out for him. Okay. So now he wants to be paid. Or at least that's the premise. But what if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks and I'm sitting in the front office and I say, you know what? What if we ended, just if we ever ended up with LeBron? Think about it, okay? Well, you don't have enough money to pay him. So what would you do? This is what I would do. I would put Giannis and the minute he opts out, Giannis and whoever else I can get on a plane, Lazary, Edens, everybody makes peace. Kumbaya. I would take, because they eat all the time down at San Giorgio and Gino's, and I'd take Gino there too with some good Italian food. Put it all on the plane. LeBron, we're coming to you. Look, here we are with the Milwaukee Bucks. We got a brand new arena. We're building a Taj Mahal of an entertainment center in downtown Milwaukee. Here's our pitch to you. You gave a resurgence to the Cleveland area, your hometown, and you're to be commended for that. You went and played with your friend, Dwayne Wade, and you won a championship, a couple of championships together. You're an unbelievable player. You go back home, and you win a championship for a town that desperately, desperately needed it. If you really want to cement your legacy as being one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, this is what we want you to do. Money be damned. You get money, like endorsement money, like just stupid money, okay? You're making money hand over fist. It's not about money anymore. You come to Milwaukee, who hasn't won a championship since 1971, who's toiled away in anonymity for many of those years. We put you in our brand new Taj Mahal of a building. We will give you, when you retire, a piece of the team, which will pay you more money eventually than anything we could promise you in salary. And you take a young upstart guy like Giannis and a young upstart guy like Jabari and the pieces we have around them, play for less money, but think of your legacy when you can say, I won a championship in Miami, I won a championship in Cleveland, and I won a championship in Milwaukee. And you stay in the East, a weaker Eastern Conference. And you win a championship here with this talent. And you be that veteran leader. Give us 2-3 years to get it all together and we'll do this. After that, you can do what you want. If you want to go retire, go retire. If you want to still play, go play. But this is what you give us. Win a championship here. Teach these guys how to be champions. Because imagine you being able to say, I won a championship with three different teams that weren't the New York Knicks, the LA Lakers, the Chicago Bulls. Imagine that. You'd be the only one in history to ever do it. Think of your legacy. That would be my pitch to LeBron. I know. Many of you think I've been hitting the five-mast skull bong. Doesn't sound like a bad idea right now, though, does it? But I'm telling you, that would be my pitch to him. I'd get my butt on a plane the minute he opts out and say, this is what I want to do. Think about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Have a going. Shoot!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.